next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. A preview of the Western Conference playoffs. Pool picks, Series X factors, upset alerts. The West is wide open. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
It's playoff time here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, Dave Satriano previewing the Western Conference playoff picture. All the matchups are finalized. Looking forward to the show, guys.
Boys, pleasure to be here. Sun is shining, and we are in a dark studio today on a Sunday, so I'm loving life.
You've got three of the four series that have never played each other, so I'm liking that.
And a lot of the matchups in that Central Division finally set, so we're excited to get first impressions, right? Nashville Predators won the Central Division. They will be hosting the Dallas Stars in a matchup that is probably the biggest toss-up for me when we're looking at all the matchups around the East and West this year.
I have concerns in this one. Nashville, they can't score, even with playoff experience. They can't do it. They can't score goals. And they're going up against a Dallas team that has Tyler Seguin, Alexander Radulov, Jamie Benn, Miro Heiskanen. You want me to keep going, Dave? John Klingberg.
You're forgetting
Ezra
someone.
Lindell.
Ben Bishop.
Ben
that
Bishop.
That guy stays healthy. I think Dallas is winning this series.
He is the big if, right? He's exited so many games. He's probably exited four or five different games this year because of injury. But big-time performances here late in the season. I think he had, four or five shutouts over the final stretch run of the season?
Led the league in GAA, 2.03, a shade over 2. Simply ridiculous. Led the league in save percentage, 934. Simply ridiculous. Top five in shutouts, tied with Andre Vasilevsky.
You know, we talk about how good the Islanders' defense has been in the turnaround, but we can't forget about Dallas. Goaltending and defense has always been a problem for them this season. Khudobin, Bishop, and the defense have been a totally different story.
All season long, if you check the team save percentage, it's been Islanders 1, either on their own or tied with the Dallas Stars, or the Dallas Stars have been maybe a percentage point or two below the New York Islanders. So right there, whether it's been Bishop or Khudobin, clearly we trust Ben Bishop is the full-time starter when healthy and a serious difference maker if Dallas is going to win a round or two here in the playoffs.
My number one pulse on this game, my number one thought is you can bet that Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn are not going to let this opportunity slip away. That's a team that hasn't sniffed the playoffs for a couple years in a row. These players are made for the playoffs.
And this is great for the Winter Classic even next year, right? These two teams are meeting. This could be a rivalry for many years to come. The one thing I think that's on Nashville's side is the depth, clearly, right? Dallas hasn't really had a great second line for most of the year, which could change with Matt Zuccarello, but still. And then the playoff experience of the Nashville Predators. A lot of these guys have played big moments in the playoffs before. Even their newcomers, like Wayne Simmonds, Granlund with the Wild, has played a bunch of playoff series.
Yeah, Brian Boyle, I think, made it back-to-back Cup Finals, too, with Rangers, Tampa Bay. But the thing for me is with Nashville is, like you mentioned, the playoff experience. They made the Cup Final 2 years ago, and they have a bad taste in their mouth after losing Game 7 in the second round at home to the Jets last year. So you can bet that that's still fresh in their mouth. They were the President's Trophy winners. They want to win this series badly.
And let's not forget how good Philip Forsberg is in the playoffs. It seems like he's the guy that always elevates his game. He scores huge goals, absolutely electric. I just have to say, though, their deadline acquisitions this season have done nothing. There hasn't been a remote interest from Wayne Simmonds, from Brian Boyle, from Mikael Granlund. Those guys have done absolutely nothing, if not even almost hurt the chemistry that that team had going before they got there. So those are the guys to me. Yes, I know they have playoff experience, but what are they just going to come out of the woodwork and start scoring goals?
It's funny. They have depth. I mentioned they have superior depth to the Dallas Stars, but it's on the wing. Who's the second line center for Nashville? Kyle Turris has been non-existent for the past year and a half. So that I'm really worried about that. I mean, if you look at that matchup, even like Rupi Hintz, maybe they have the advantage over Nashville at second line center.
I mean, Nick Bonino was good for the Penguins, two or three years ago in the playoffs? But the likelihood of that happening is slim.
I'm worried. Even picking the Nashville Predators, I'm worried about them across the lineup. Their power play has been brutal this year. I mean, they're going to need some other figures to step up here, right? Like Ryan Ellis has had great playoffs in the past. You're not sure where it's going to come from. I just think there are so many guys in the room that have had taste of the playoffs before. Good moments, bad moments. if it comes together here, Nashville is a sneaky team that not many people will probably pick going to the Cup Final or going to the Western Conference Final, but I think they're capable of it still.
They are capable of it, but I think, as Rob said before, Jamie Benn in particular, he did not have a good regular season at all by his standards, and the CEO, I'm sure, would tell you that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, is he going to rip into the team again before the playoffs to get them going? I don't know.
Hey,
but
it got them going, though.
It got them going.
Tyler Seguin going.
It did get him going. Like I said, Jamie Benn, he needs to step up because he has not performed well, although they've gotten those contributions from those other guys. But, Rob, you said it. They're going to need a big series from him.
The Nashville Predators are built from the back end. They have four defensemen. That is four defensemen in our playoff rankings, in the top 40 playoff defensemen. So that, to read off the list, it's Roman Josi ranked top at 13, P.K. Subban at 15, Matthias Ekholm at 25, and Ryan Ellis bringing in the rear at 29. Does that scream to you that, okay, maybe if this defense really steps up and shuts this thing down and also contributes offensively, that would be the ticket to them winning the series?
I think great finish to the season for Nashville, right? I think that they have an opportunity here to get going at the right time of year. And I'm looking at two teams in the Western Conference who could do that. I always like to look at going into the playoffs, who has yet to play their best stretch of hockey over the course of the season but are capable of it. Nashville is, and the San Jose Sharks can do that as well.
But is it their defense, I'm saying? Is it their defense that is going to do it for them?
Of course it is, yeah. The Nashville Predators are built. That's the way that that's the makeup of their roster. They will be the difference if they go 2-3 rounds in the playoffs, that defense, like they were a couple of years ago, right? When even they beat Anaheim. Anaheim had a deep defense in the conference final, and that was the difference again. It's Nashville's defense or bust.
But let's not forget Dallas's defense. John Klingberg, Miro Heiskanen, even Esa Lindell. Like, the guys they have back there
too,
are no slouches either. I mean, they may not be as good as Nashville's four, but they're pretty good. It's a pretty solid group back there.
They all scored 10-plus goals, those guys that you named, which was really impressive considering Heiskanen's a rookie.
Are you worried about goalie master? Let's tap into your knowledge, your brain power. Are you worried about Pekka Rinne here? Can he meet Ben Bishop's level of play in this series? Because I look back at two years ago, when he was playing prior to the Stanley Cup final, went three rounds in the playoffs. I know he's 2 years older now, but he was playing at like a 940, 950 save percentage over three rounds. I mean, we shouldn't forget about this guy.
Yeah, I think they were the number eight seed, and they beat the Blackhawks. Rinne allowed five goals in four games, I think, and they beat Chicago back then. And yeah, he may be 36, 37, but he had a great regular season. He won the Vezina last year. He is a playoff performer also. I just feel like in this matchup, if Bishop stays healthy, Dallas has the edge in goal.
I think that's the number one question, though. That whole series pretty much rides on, is Ben Bishop going to stay healthy? So he got injured a few weeks ago to close out the regular season. It hurt a lot of people in fantasy championships, considering he was our second-ranked goalie in the top 25. Now heading into the playoffs, he is our number four-ranked goalie behind Vasi, Fleury, and Rask. But I think that's true. If he stays healthy, Dave, I really have to say that I tip my cap to Dallas in this one. Upset alert.
A lot of ifs for me with Dallas, right? If Matt Zuccarello is healthy, if Ben Bishop is healthy, if Jamie Benn bounces back, if. I trust Nashville a little bit more. Again, I haven't made up my mind just yet, but I'm leaning towards Nashville just because of that.
All right, so this series has a clear-cut number one goalie for each team, but one which doesn't is Colorado-Calgary. It's interesting because you could say each team has a choice here. I think Colorado would be Grubauer, but what do the Flames do, guys? I mean, Mike Smith, David Rittich, who's starting game one?
I think you got to go Mike Smith just because his playoff experience in the past. If it were up to me, I'd probably rather see David Rittich out there and feel a little bit more comfortable about it. But Mike Smith has the track record to get it done. His 8.98 regular season save percentage isn't wowing anybody out of their seat. In fact, it's pretty repulsive. But I really do believe Mike Smith, that's a good feel-good story. That's a veteran guy in net there. You have to give the edge to him.
We're asking ourselves this question for the Calgary Flames. It's not a good sign for their longevity in the playoffs. Second round, whether they play the Sharks or the Vegas Golden Knights, it'll end for the Calgary Flames right then and there, in my opinion, because of the question that we're asking right now. We're going to be asking the same question in the second round, perhaps.
Yeah, they're not going to have the goaltending edge in the second round. And even the first round, with the way Grubauer's been playing, you could give the edge to Colorado and net there.
No doubt. I mean, Grubauer has been, what, 955 save percentage, I think, over his past 10 starts. Almost all wins over the span. So Grubauer gives them a chance to pull the upset, right? We're looking at the Eastern Conference, not seeing a ton of upset possibilities, but the Calgary Flames don't have much Stanley Cup playoff experience, last I checked.
Nate McKinnon is a guy that was our fantasy MVP in the regular season. It's really hard to envision him not having a productive series, win or lose. I think the points are going to be there, but I do have to give the edge to Calgary's back end in this series. Mark Giordano, I think he should win the Norris this season. Leading off the charge, TJ Brody, another big-time plus-minus guy. Whether you like the stat or you hate the stat, that means a lot in the playoffs. If they're on the ice for more goals for than against, taking on the top-line trio for the Avalanche, that's going to be the difference right there.
I think you're right. The Flames have the advantage defensively, but Tyson Barrie is a guy on Colorado that I don't care if he only plays in five games in the series. He's a point-per-game player. He's played so well this season. He plays well in the playoffs. He did last season. I think he's a guy that I would look in my leagues.
I'm looking at Mikko Rantanen. Is the guy healthy? He's missed the past couple of games for Colorado. He needs to be healthy. That top line for Colorado needs to be clicking to, at the very least, offset Calgary's top line, which is lethal. But one thing I'm looking at in this Calgary-Colorado series, look at all the deficits that Colorado has had to overcome in some of these big games down the stretch just to clinch the playoffs. The Flames are the best third period goal scoring team in the NHL this year and the better team overall. I'm all in on Calgary in this series.
And think about the Flames second line here too. Matthew Tkachuk, huge season fantasy wise, production wise. Center Mikhail Backlund, another guy that elevates his game at this time of year always. And hey, faceoff wins alert, Dave, the player that you want to pick up in your leagues is Michael Backlund. And then right wing Michael Frolik, another player with good experience like this, plays a hard game. Those two top lines are going to be really hard for, I know you love him, and I do too, but for Tyson Barrie to shut down those guys, I hate to break it to everyone on this program, but Tyson Barrie is not a shutdown defenseman. In fact, if they are down by one goal, Dave, 5 minutes to go, if they're up by one goal, 5 minutes to go in the game, Colorado, that is, Tyson Barrie will not be on the ice because they don't trust him in those situations.
Rob, you're just grumpy because you haven't had your coffee this morning. Tyson Barrie will be just fine.
So who are we liking in this series? I gave my pick. I like Calgary. Are either of you taking the upset? And also, can Colorado steal one of the first two games in Calgary? That's the big question.
I like Calgary here as well. I think Colorado can steal one of the games. My guess would be it would be game two because I think Calgary, number one in the Western Conference, they have something to prove this year. I think they're going to come out flaming, so to speak, in that first game, and they're just going to roll over Colorado. And we could have a goalie change in game two for Colorado, I think.
I don't think we're seeing Semyon Varlamov. I know we saw him in the last game of the season, but that was a pity start. We're not seeing Semyon Varlamov in this series.
Yeah, goalie master, I wouldn't put your reputation on that one. After how well Grubauer's taken this team down the stretch, there's no way, unless they lose in a complete dismantling effort. We're talking like 7-2 here, maybe in the second game, going back to Colorado down in an 0-2 hole. That would be the complete last-ditch effort stop, though.
Look, we all know how I feel about Semyon Varlamov. If I'm throwing the guy a bone, then I must feel some sort of weakness for him here. But I think he could get a game. Maybe game three, if not game two. But I think we'll see him in the series starting.
So if Colorado is going to pull the upset here, they're going to need contributions from their secondary guys. We don't know if Cale Makar is going to join the team after the Frozen Four. If, however it ends for UMass, he could play potentially by the beginning of next week, so maybe for like game three or game four, but I wouldn't bank on him coming back. So guys like Kerfoot, Sam Girard are guys to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, Alex Kerfoot, I think you nailed it there. He's had a great last couple of weeks, even a month when they've moved him up there on the line. But also, I think I've just seen something different out of him recently watching him because I watched him last year too. Just seems like he's playing with more confidence. He feels like he can have a bigger role, and he's been producing for them.
And one guy I was looking at, Carl Soderberg, remember a couple of years ago he had like 15, 20 points mm-hmm. in the whole season? I think he has like 20-plus goals this year. So, and he's had a great second half. So, and remember, with Rantanen coming back potentially, if he's on the top line, if the top line's stacked, I mean, Kerfoot's not going to be playing with McKinnon anymore, maybe on power play one, but it's going to fall on that second line, which I have my big questions about.
I do too. That's why I would stay away from players like that, unless you can tell me Rob, he's going to be on power play one. I'm not going to draft a player like that. Otherwise, if he's on power play one, I love it in DFS. I love it in playoff pools. But that, to me, is a big if and a big liability. I would much rather steer towards a safe bet, get access, get exposure to all those guys. To me, it would be on Colorado's back end and an Eric Johnson, big-time performer at this time of year, big-time ice log on the minutes-wise there. That would be a player that I would feel a little bit safer taking late in a playoff pool because you're going to get that guaranteed exposure at even strength.
And let's look at a potential matchup of left wings, guys that throw the body around and can also score, right? Matthew Tkachuk on one side and Gabriel Landeskog, who came back from injury recently, a little earlier than scheduled. Is there a guy you like more than the other? I mean, clearly Calgary could go two rounds, maybe three in the playoffs. Colorado, maybe no more than one.
I like Tkachuk better. I think his overall game, he just seems to do everything offensively, defensively. He fights, he disturbs. He seems like he's built for the playoffs. He's that type of player, and I think that now that he's in the playoffs, he's going to have a good showing.
It's got to be Chucky. He's the master troll, and I feel like it's going to be so easy to get under Colorado's skin in this playoff matchups. We saw the incident with Nate McKinnon and Jared Bednar on the bench where they were kind of yelling at each other. I think that was actually in Calgary earlier in the season, so watch out for that one. If Matthew Tkachuk gets under their skin, that could be over quickly.
So the Central Division has been so strong this year, so unpredictable, especially over the second half of the season. We already have talked about three Central Division teams with Nashville, Dallas, and now Colorado. There, by the way, there's two others playing in maybe the most compelling series in the West, St. Louis Blues against the Winnipeg Jets. The Blues failed to get it done to get home ice, so Winnipeg is another team that hasn't quite hit its stride yet, but it could do big things when it's all said and done.
Jets, Blues. I went to the first game of the season in St. Louis. The Jets won 5-1. They routed them. You thought the Blues were actually going to be a good team this season, and now they've been playing as if we thought they would. There's a lot of great storylines there, intriguing ones. One for me, obviously, as the goalie master, is Jordan Binnington or Jake Allen. I mean, obviously, I think Jake Allen is going to be benched in the first game in favor of Binnington, the rookie, because of how well he's played. But Binnington has not played the Jets this season. Allen did have a shutout against them in one game, so there is some intrigue there, but I think Binnington is the guy that has to start that game one.
He is, but that's why I have written down my concerns about the Blues revolve around Jordan Binnington and Jake Allen. I just don't trust that whole situation there. Jake Allen is a proven playoff performer. We've seen it. He's a great shutdown guy in the playoffs. He's won them some games single-handedly in the postseason before. Jordan Binnington, yes, he's a rookie. He's played outstanding. He's up for the Calder. He'll probably finish second behind Elias Pettersson of the Vancouver Canucks. But Jordan Binnington against a Jets team that now has Josh Morrissey back in the lineup. Now they have Dustin Byfuglien in the lineup. They have Kevin Hayes, who's looked wonderful as a trade deadline acquisition. Maybe one of the best. That could shake out to be the best acquisition of the deadline if he takes his game into the playoffs. I just don't think that St. Louis, as much as they've been a good storyline down the stretch here, and Craig Berube's up for the Jack Adams Award and everything like that, I just don't think they have enough to beat that Winnipeg team.
St. Louis has gotten a ton of goals from their defensemen this year, and I think that the health of Winnipeg's defense is just so key in this series. With Josh Morrissey out, they've been a sub-500 team over the past, I think, 20-plus games, 20, 25 games of the regular season. Winnipeg overall has been a 500 team over the past 2 months of the season. So I'm worried about the health of Byfuglien and Morrissey over a seven-game series, and then not to mention the rest of the way where they're going to run into another strong team in the second round. So, yeah, I'm worried about Winnipeg. I think that Winnipeg, I'm going with the St. Louis Blues in this series. I just haven't seen enough from Winnipeg over the past couple of weeks.
I'd like to pick the Blues, but I think the Jets are going to win this. And also Patrick Laine, he did have 5 goals against the Blues earlier this season. He had 6 goals in the 4 games against them this season. Thing for me is the guy finished 3rd on his team in goals. Patrick Laine had 30, and that was behind Connor and Scheifele. If last year in the playoffs, he struggled a bit, but you got to think he's going to show up, especially knowing how well. 5 goals on 5 shots against them. He's had 6 goals in the 4 games. You have to think he's going to step up.
I believe he will step up. We have him ranked 25th overall in the playoff pool standings, right behind Vlad Tarasenko, who will be going up against the Blues. But I don't think it's just Patrick Laine, Dave. I think it's also Nikolai Ehlers, who did he even play in the regular season? He did nothing for fantasy players. He was a little bit banged up here and there, but he was absolutely non-existent. That's a player you cannot have out on the ice and not be contributing offensively.
Ehlers has been underwhelming. I know he scored a goal recently, but he's been underwhelming for a season and a half now after he scored 60-plus points each of the prior two seasons, including last year. But finished really poorly in the playoffs. I mean, if he even chipped in a goal or two in that series against Vegas, he could have turned the table a little bit, but was non-existent.
He didn't even score a goal in that series last year, in their playoffs last year.
In the whole playoffs, right.
I think Mark Scheifele scored all the goals for them. What, do you have seven against Nashville on the road last year?
Right. Scheifele had like 14 goals in three playoff rounds, yeah. One for the ages there. But I was just remembering Patrick Laine had his five-goal game right against St. Louis Blues.
Dave already said that.
Oh, he did.
Yep. Dave had that stat pointed out. Call Elias Spirits Brew Rogue. Fact check that one. No, but it's true. I think, Dave, you did bring up a good point. Patrick Laine here is, I know we have him ranked 25th overall, but that's a player that year in and year out has 50-goal potential. Those players don't grow on trees, as we all know it, right? You don't need to be a draft expert to figure that one out. So while we have him ranked 25th and we have Tarasenko ranked 24th, those are two guys. On either side of the ice, no matter if you like the Jets or you like the Blues, whichever one steps up and gets hot first, they're probably winning the series.
Hopefully those guys go toe-to-toe, goal per game in the series. It could make for a really exciting one.
You know, one guy who we didn't talk about is the other goaltender, Connor Hellebuyck. I mean, what happened to him this year, guys?
He completely fell off, finished
second in Vezina voting, and this year absolutely just disappeared. I mean, Brossoit was starting over him, had better numbers. I mean, are we worried about him? I mean, Pete, you have the Blues, so you might be Rob. Are we worried about Hellebuyck?
No, I'm not worried. I don't. This is ludicrous. People get so mental about the regular season when in reality, no one cares. At the end of the day, what are you going to talk to me if the Jets win the Cup and we're sitting down in July, you know, talking hockey about the last regular season? You're telling me about Connor Hellebuck's performance of the regular season? I'm going to say no one cares, Dave. Nobody cares about the regular season at this time of year. Once the playoffs are underway, we're never talking about it again. I hate to break that to people. So Connor Hellebuyck, no, I'm not worried. And honestly, Laurent Brossoit, he was a good backup this season. He needed to be because Hellebuyck struggled. But this is Hellebuyck's team. And let's not forget what a Connor Hellebuyck player looks like at home ice. Big time advantage for the Jets there. And I know that barn's a little bit smaller up north, but I think their home ice there is going to be ruckus.
And I think that I can believe this. I think either San Jose, Nashville, or Winnipeg is going to make a deep run despite not playing their best hockey in the regular season. I would lean more towards San Jose compared to the other two. I don't trust those central teams. And from the Blues standpoint, I think that some of these guys are starting to come to the rink and make contributions, right? Alex Steen had a three-point game the other day. If Jaden Schwartz is playing on the second line at an elite level, which he has played at different points the past couple of years, if he's healthy and performing, this is a dangerous, deep St. Louis Blues team with contributions throughout the top nine.
You know, if everyone followed Ryan O'Reilly's lead, St. Louis would be great. He's been their most consistent player all season. Goals, assists, points, all career highs. He was a plus 23 or something. He wins faceoffs, Robs. I know
I
you don't
that.
Care about
I
that.
Love
but
that stat.
He is the guy that's been – he was even better than Tarasenko this season. I think he is their MVP, slightly above Jordan Binnington. Ryan O'Reilly is going to be their best offensive player in the playoffs.
We haven't even mentioned Blake Wheeler's name yet. He had 70-plus assists this season, and we haven't even mentioned the guy's name.
That's a bad job by us.
It's true. I mean, that line could be a difference maker.
Kyle Connor had 30-plus goals anyway. Who's talking about Kyle Connor? He had 33 goals. No one cares about him, I guess.
More than Patrick Laine, like I said.
What odds could you have gotten
that at the beginning of the season?
I would never have taken that bet in a million years. I wouldn't have touched that with a 12-foot pole.
From the Blues standpoint, again, I think that top line, right? Like, Tarasenko has had some struggles in years past. In the playoffs in terms of scoring goals, he has never had line mates quite like he does right now with O'Reilly and Braden Schenn. So I'm really intrigued to see, can he finally put his best foot forward in the playoffs? I know he was on the Blues when they made the conference final a couple years ago, but we haven't seen a big-time performance from him extended over more than one series.
It's not their forward group I'm worried about. It's more of their back end with Alex Pietrangelo. He had an up-and-down season. Vince Dunn, he's a little bit of a younger player. He had a great season offensively, but you can't. He's one of those type of players that you can't rely on to play a 200-foot game as a defenseman. So unless Colton Parayko stepping up here, I think the load is going to be heavily on Alex Pietrangelo's shoulders, and that could be great or it could be bad depending on how you look at it.
But the Blues did score the most goals from defense.
That is
so
true.
So we do
true.
Have to mention that. I mean, yeah. they spread it around, but they had a lot of guys with 10 whatever goals. So,
but I do think that I would, if I'm looking at the back ends here, I would give the edge to Winnipeg just because I'd probably come in there and say, to be fair, without Morrissey and Byfuglien for most of the season there. Look at Jake Trouba, though. Another player. Why haven't we talked about Jacob Trouba? He had a breakout 50-plus point season. So if their back end's healthy, I really have to give the edge to Winnipeg.
Speaking of edges, how about the coaching edge? Who has it here? I mean, Craig Berube, the job he has done resurrecting the St. Louis Blues from worst in the NHL standings on January 2nd to competing for the division title and, you know, maybe being able to win a playoff series. I mean, it's crazy. It's unthinkable when you think about where they were a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of the finalists for the Jack Adams Award. But speaking of coaches, how about the job Gerard Gallant has done again this year with Vegas? You know, we haven't talked about them as much because they didn't have as great a season as last year. But here they are, right again, back in it, playing the Sharks, and who they beat last year quite handily. So there's another matchup that we have to look forward to.
I love this series. I've been thinking about it for weeks because we knew it was a foregone conclusion. Both teams kind of stumbled at the end of the regular season in terms of the last few games and weeks. But they did play each other about a week and a half ago. Sharks won that game in overtime at home. The Sharks have home ice, which I think is crucial. And Martin Jones, who has been terrible, actually has a really good playoff track record.
I actually have some major program-breaking stats here from a buddy of mine at the NFL. He's in the stats department there. He's also, coincidentally, a huge Sharks fan, so shout-out Jack on this one. San Jose is 32-0-0 when they allow two or fewer goals, and they are 43-3 when they allow three or fewer goals. This is a San Jose Sharks hammer job. There's no doubt in my mind that they aren't winning the series. In fact, I would go down heavy on this trend, saying it's done in six or less for San Jose.
Are we forgetting the other goalie on the other end, Fleury?
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't
what
matter.
Did he do last season against the Kings, the whole playoffs? If Vegas wins, he's the Conn Smythe winner.
They didn't win.
Against the Sharks this season, Fleury 154-950. So Jones may be good, but Fleury's just as good.
The Sharks are so deep. They are so talented. That is a team that doesn't need to come to these little regular season Western gunslinging matchups here. They can do whatever they want to do. EK65 did not play until the last game of the regular season. I don't care who you like. I Marc-Andre Fleury, and you know it. I'm very high on him. We have him ranked second in our playoff pool standings. I don't care about that. It's Martin Jones' situation here. It all depends on him. If he plays better than a 9-10 save percentage, there is no way the Sharks are losing that series.
And it's interesting. You'll probably listen to a lot of shows out there that think Vegas is going to win this series, but Rob and I both think that the Sharks are going to put it all together here and make the Stanley Cup final. I've doubted them a lot the past week, but the more I watched them, seeing Erik Karlsson back on the ice, seeing that Timo Meier's injury is not serious, this team, if they put it all together, you could look at them completely differently than you're looking at them right now. And that's what I love for playoff picks. If they win a round, if they take down Vegas and, you know, extinguish those demons, you would look at the Sharks as a completely different team.
You would, but that's a lot of ifs, and I think Vegas just has more right now, right here, even with Karlsson back. So I think Vegas is going to beat the Sharks once again.
They don't have defensemen. They don't have a blue line. In Vegas, one of the reasons they lost last season was because they don't have a defenseman that can step up on the power play. Shea Theodore is a talented player, but he can't run a power play for the life of him. Colin Miller, if you have him out in the power play, you don't have any business playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So when you look at the two back ends, just glancing it on paper, and I see number 88 and I see number 65, I don't have to read any further than to know that San Jose is winning this series.
San Jose also won a big road game earlier in the season. I think it was in the first half of the season, but it felt like a playoff game. They were playing at Vegas. They scored, I think, two goals in the final few minutes. I mean, they have this level that they could reach that I feel like the Sharks are a team that they're better when they're the underdog. Like, Red, how many playoff exits in the first round has this team had? Probably more than any other franchise in the NHL over the past decade.
And, Dave, I would go as far as to say, even if San Jose's down in an 0-2 hole in the series, I still like the Sharks, and I'm not going to waver on that.
You think that they'll beat Fleury 4 out of 5 games in that case? It's pretty hard to do.
I do. I really believe in this team. I think Jumbo Joe Thornton is a player that is built for these types of moments. He has a clutch gene in him that few players have in the NHL. And it's just a good storyline to focus on is Jumbo Joe. He deserves to be here this time of year. He deserves to be in that Conn Smythe talk if he produces in the playoff and they do get to the finals.
So if you're doing a playoff pool here, and we both like the Sharks a lot, your top two picks, are they going to be Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, or are you looking at, I mean, the safest teams right now to make a deep run in the entire postseason are teams like Tampa, Boston, right? The Sharks have a little question mark here. No matter how much we like them, this series could go seven. It's a total toss-up. So how are you approaching the Sharks from a playoff pool standpoint? Because there's a lot of risk involved.
There is a lot of risk. I would take Burns ahead of Karlsson. I mean, I feel like he did kind of rush back a little. We know how good he is, but I think Burns is going to do more, have more points, you know, for the Sharks there. But I feel like that you're right. They're kind of starting to put it all together, but there are a lot of ifs. You know, I feel like they're just rushing this together right now for the playoffs. So I'm not sure how that's going to gel.
I'm a gambling man. I would take Erik Karlsson first over Brent Burns. The reason why, and I will go to bat on this take any day of the week. The way that Erik Karlsson played in the 2016-17 playoffs for the Ottawa Senators was like nothing I've ever seen from a defenseman before. I mean, we might have to roll the footage of Bobby Orr here back in the days for the Boston Bruins. The way that Erik Karlsson single-handedly would take the puck from his own zone, carry it into just completely uncontested into the offensive zone, and then create a beautiful scoring chance, whether it's on a 3-on-2, whether it's even a 3-on-3, but he's still getting a shot through. So few players in the league can do that, and you have two on the San Jose Sharks. But I would still lean towards EK65 based on what we see from him in the past. And I don't think he rushed back, to be honest. I think if they would have been really sliding out of control, he would have come back sooner. I really believe that they waited and gave him every opportunity to come into that last game, get a feel for the ice, get a feel for the pace, make sure the conditioning is there. But come Wednesday or Thursday, whenever they're playing, he's ready to go.
I mean, they made a mistake playing him in the All-Star game. It was at home. It's a decision that they will definitely regret if this team doesn't win the whole thing. That said, I think they've kept him fresh. I mean, they haven't rushed him back. They went on a 1-win-in-10-games stretch and still didn't bring him back. They eased him back in on Saturday, and I think he's ready to go. I agree with you. That team, that Ottawa team that he led to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final, had absolutely no business being there. I look at Mark Stone from Vegas. Did not do very much in that series. I mean, now he has better line mates, but I'm looking at the weaknesses of that second line in terms of their playoff track record. Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone do not have encouraging playoff performances. Clearly, they're on a better team now, but I just worry about them a little bit.
Yeah, we all know about the Riley Smith, you know, Jonathan Marchessault, William Karlsson line, and like you said, they were great last year. Haven't been as great this year, but still, behind them, you know, Mark Stone's been pretty good with Vegas, especially early on, but you're right about Pacioretty in the playoffs. He needs to show something. Their depth players need to show something against the Sharks.
In his defense, the playoff teams that he was on for Montreal really had no center options. So he was pretty much doing the full load by himself. I am intrigued to see Max Pacioretty playoff edition with Paul Stastny centering him and with another very capable 30-40 goal scorer on his right wing, Mark Stone. I do think that that line for Vegas should be rolled out as the top line against the Sharks in round one.
That line, the other top line, 1A, 1B, whatever you want to say. We should note they have dominated the Sharks since the Golden Knights came into existence. That's the Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, and William Karlsson line. So if you think that Vegas will beat the Sharks, I would say that they would go pretty deep in the playoffs, and those three players could become just as valuable as they were last year for Vegas.
Yeah, we all know how I feel about Riley Smith. I think he's good for at least two rounds this year, and he's a guy that I would take later in these drafts.
Throwing out some players that you guys are going to keep tabs on. Number one player I like, and this is all about exposure here, I want Elias Lindholm of the Calgary Flames. I want the access to Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, but I don't want to pay a premium. So I'm going to the value bin. I'm looking at the 50% off, 75% off final clearance sale items, and I'm taking Elias Lindholm out of that bucket.
If Elias Lindholm plays at the level that he did in the regular season, I mean, we were just doing like the rankings for next year. We're a little cautious on where we ranked him. Same applies to the playoffs here. It's a new season, right? No matter who you are, if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning or if you're the Colorado Avalanche, this is a clean slate, and Elias Lindholm needs to translate it into the playoffs in order to get the Flames into the second round and beyond.
Well, Rob, I don't know if you know this. There are 29 other teams in the NHL besides Calgary and Washington. So here's another team, Dallas. You may have heard of the Dallas Stars. Matt Zuccarello, I mean, he's a guy that when he's been on the ice for them, he's been pretty good. I think Dallas is going to beat Nashville, and I think he's going to be very productive for them in that series.
Okay, I'm going to go completely off my board here and your board too, Dave, and I'm going to target one of those other teams. I'm looking at San Jose, and I'm looking at Tomas Hertl. That's the forward that I truly believe on that Sharks team. He had a coming out party during the regular season. I think that carries over to the playoff experience because I do have a hard time putting my finger. Is it going to be Joe Pavelski? Is it going to be Logan Couture, who's really good in the playoffs historically? But I think Tomas Hertl, get some new lifeblood in that mix. Don't be afraid to take a player like that high in drafts.
Hertl's been a breakout player just like Lindholm has, and he's become the player that the Sharks had hoped he would be with his injury-plagued career. It's going to be great to see him healthy for the playoffs and being a potential playoff performer. I mean, the Sharks have been in this thing for a while. You know what to expect from a Pavelski in the playoffs, or a Brent Burns in the playoffs, or a Couture in the playoffs. Another guy, Gustav Nyquist, I think a depth guy for, especially like if Timo Meier misses some time. I mean, there are injuries along the way. I said it at the time that they acquired him. I think it could pay off if he's playing in the top six. If somebody goes down in that Sharks forward group, he could really step up.
Yeah, even if he's not playing in the top six, I think with the way the Sharks are and the way he's played when he was on Detroit and how he's kind of, you know, accustomed fit in now, I guess, to San Jose, I think he, especially with where you're going to get him in the lower late rounds, I think he's a guy that has very sneaky appeal.
I would say that is very true. There is a lot of sneaky appeal there. But for me, I got it. When I'm looking at defensemen in these pools, I need a player like John Klingberg to get that Dallas Stars exposure to Tyler Seguin, Radulov, and Ben. And I want to get John Klingberg, not because I personally do believe that Dallas is going to pull that upset off, but even in this whole strategy about even if they only play seven games, Klingberg's probably good for around 10 points with that exposure alone. So that's a player that, even though they might not be playing a ton of games, that's still a player that's going to return dividends for you in your playoff pools.
Yeah, Dallas could certainly pull that upset if the shots start falling. Their power play has been underwhelming. If Klingberg gets the ball rolling for that team, I really like their chances to pull the upset. I mean, looking at these Western Conference teams, I mean, who do you think is most likely to pull the upset, whether it's a Dallas or a Colorado or even the Sharks? I would think that the consensus is that most people will probably be picking Vegas.
I think that is the consensus. I mean, you guys don't have Vegas, but I have Vegas. I think Dallas is the team with the best shot at the upset. And if not them, I think Vegas.
And St. Louis isn't an upset, by the way. I think that's a pretty even series. I'm picking them to beat, Winnipeg. And I think that David Perron is another player to look at. He's playing on power play one right now. The other day he had two power play points. He's playing on that top unit with Tarasenko, Pietrangelo, Braden Schenn, and company, Ryan O'Reilly. So he's a guy that has been extremely consistent this year when healthy.
I like the Jets in that series, but I do have to give the edge to San Jose overall in the West. That was my preseason pick. As much as their play was begging me to change that down the stretch, I forgot all about the regular season already. I am in full playoff mode. My DVR is set to all of these games. We're going to have five on Wednesday, which is just a puck lover's dream. And then four, is it on Thursday? Three or four on Thursday. I mean, this is the best time of year. It's like holiday season for all of us here at work. So I really, out of the West, I'm going San Jose. I'm sticking to my preseason pick.
Yeah, I have Winnipeg, which is my preseason pick. I'm kind of nervous about them getting by St. Louis, but I think they can. And if they do, I think once they get that one round, I think they should be okay to get there.
I'm sticking with both of my preseason picks across the league. So I'm going San Jose and Boston. We'll see which one takes the cup. But I think that each of those teams has a chance to get there. It won't be easy. The Sharks will probably have to win a game seven against Vegas just to escape the first round. And Boston, if they escape Tampa Bay, will also probably be in game seven.
It will certainly be a heavy tested road. But if you have any more of these last minute questions for us, definitely get at us on Twitter at NHL Fantasy. All three of us, including Dave, the goalie master, are happy to answer your DFS questions, last minute lineup locks for the night, or even just who we like in a game any given night too.
So that'll do it for us. If you haven't already, check out the Eastern Conference Stanley Cup playoff preview on the same platforms as you're listening to this episode. Thanks so much, Dave Satriano, for joining us for both of these episodes. So for Dave, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.